Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, April 15th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
A comeback for Tiger Woods, 10 years in the making.
He has done it! Tiger is back on top!
Plus, President Trump renews attacks on the Fed.
And Wall Street awaits earnings from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup.
Attorney General Barr will release the long-awaited redacted Mueller report this week. Plus, President Trump's re-election war chest rose. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, the Islanders on the verge of their first sweep in nearly 25 years, while a tough day locally for the Yankees and Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Global stocks are struggling for traction as we begin a new week. It's coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures little change to lower right now. Dow futures up 22 points. NASDAQ futures down almost 6. The DAX in Germany little change to lower. CAC in Paris little changed as well. So is the FTSE in London. Price of the 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 2.55%. Two-year Treasuries at 2.39%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 20 cents, trading at $63.69 an ounce. COMEX gold down 0.4% or 5.90. It's at $1,289.40 per troy ounce. The euro is at 1.1318 against the dollar, and the yen at 111.97. John.
And we'll get to today's top financial news in a moment, Nathan. But first, we begin with a comeback more than a decade in the making.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
Tiger Woods claimed his fifth green jacket and 15th major title with a win at the Masters, heard right here on Bloomberg Radio.
To have the opportunity to come back like this, it is probably one of the biggest wins I've ever had, for sure.
It was Woods' first major title since 2008 and will surely renew interest in his quest to top the 18 major titles held by Jack Nicklaus. Well, bookmakers aren't cheering, though. William Hill in Nevada took a 14-to-1 bet on Woods that pays out $1.2 million, while FanDuel says it lost $2 million from the win.
Much more on Tiger, of course, coming up in sports. But first, we turn again to financial news with some rare remarks from European Central Bank President Mario Draghi over the weekend. He's expressing concern over the independence of the Federal Reserve. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning. Mario Draghi says he's worried about central bank independence. Speaking to reporters at the IMF meetings in Washington over the weekend, the ECB president added, especially in the most important jurisdiction in the world. Now, that rare intervention proved prescient when Trump used Twitter just a day later to attack the Fed once again. The president tweeting that stocks would be 5,000 to 10,000 points higher if the central bank hadn't raised rates. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. We're getting signs from the Trump administration that trade talks with China are moving in the right direction. Here with details is Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin signaling that the U.S. would be opening to facing penalties themselves if they don't live up to a trade deal. It caught some people off guard, but it's seen as a progressive step for the U.S. as they look to conclude talks with China. There's been talk about a possible another round of meetings after the recent spate in Beijing and Washington. And then ultimately there would be a summit between Trump and Xi Jinping, although that won't come until most everything here is already ironed out.
Under the deal being discussed, the U.S. and China would each establish an enforcement office to monitor compliance.
Still, there are risks that a trade agreement ends up being less definitive than some may hope. Mohamed El-Arian is chief economic advisor for Allianz and a Bloomberg Opinion columnist.
The big uncertainty is really, will it be a decisive deal or will it be a pause, if you like, pressing the pause button until we start again with a more complex set of negotiations.
The U.S.-China trade war is now in its ninth month. Last week, the International Monetary Fund cited trade tensions as one of several risks when cutting its global growth outlook.
And meanwhile, stocks in Asia are flirting with six-month highs to start the week. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Chinese stocks sold off into the close after earlier rallying. The CSI 300, which had been up by as much as 2.4%, closing lower by a third of 1%. Japanese markets climbed to their highest level since December. The benchmark topics index, backed by electronics makers, snapped a five-day losing streak, while the Nikkei 225 rose 1.4% in Tokyo. The Korean won was Asia's best-performing currency, climbing the most in 3 months against the dollar. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Now back here in the U.S., we get earnings from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup today after strong results Friday from J.P. Morgan. Mike Mayo covers financials for Wells Fargo.
The government shutdown should have a negative impact on IPOs, underwriting, trading. So it's not a great revenue quarter. But what's coming through for the large banks, cost control, capital return, and credit consistency. So it should be another boring quarter for the banks, which we like.
Goldman's top line is expected to decline from last year's solid results, while trading revenue is likely to weigh on earnings from Citigroup.
The legal battle between Apple and Qualcomm enters a new chapter today as the companies face off in a San Diego courtroom. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
It'll feature a star-studded cast in the dispute over chips used in iPhones, including testimony by CEOs Tim Cook and Stephen Mollenkopf. The jury trial could be a decisive face-off in the two-year global fight between the tech giants, with Apple challenging Qualcomm patent licensing practices and Qualcomm trying to recoup royalty payments that Apple and its Asian manufacturers stopped paying in 2017. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. And the European Union has reportedly taken a closer look at Google's operations in Ireland. Bloomberg News has learned the focus is on how the tech giant reduces its corporate tax obligations within the bloc. The review was preliminary. An investigation isn't imminent. Google and the European Commission both declined to comment. S&P futures little change to lower right now. Dow futures up 22 points. NASDAQ futures down nearly 6. 10-year Treasury yield 2.55%. The 2-year at 2.38%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. President Trump is awaiting the redacted Mueller report this week. But first, keep an eye on the skies. The New York area is under a tornado watch. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has the latest.
Michael, the National Weather Service has the region under a tornado watch until 7. We've got a line of heavy showers and thunderstorms moving through, some of which may be strong. The big issue will be wind gusts with the thunderstorms up over 40 miles an hour. And because of the motion in the atmosphere, there is the potential for isolated tornadoes. Good news is the threat is going to rapidly decrease early this morning. It looks like after about 6:30 or 7 o'clock, the storm should be east of us, and then we just have to worry about strong gusty winds, which will be developing across the region later this afternoon and into tonight. Michael?
Thanks, Rob. A brutal weekend of severe weather in parts of the U.S. left at least 8 people dead. A suspected tornado hit a rural Ohio city as the storm pummeled the south, made its way to the northeast. President Donald Trump faces the impending release of special counsel Robert Mueller's long-awaited report on the Russia probe. The release of the almost 400-page document could echo Attorney General William Barr's summary or prolong the scandal for the president. President Trump has already claimed total exoneration based on Barr's four-page summary issued last month. Barr also said that he decided there was not enough evidence to charge Trump with obstruction of justice, even though Mueller had left that question open. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders on Fox News Sunday.
The president has been clear he wants transparency throughout the process, but the president's 100% right. Once they get the report and they see what the summary has already laid out, that there was no collusion, there is no obstruction, it's time to move on.
Fox News Sunday can be heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. President Trump's reelection war chest is growing. He has raised more than $30 million for his reelection effort, according to figures released by his campaign, and has $40.8 million in the bank. That's more than any of the active Democratic candidates that reported so far. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's Rob Bushkin.
Good morning, John. Not since 2008 has Tiger Woods won a major golf tournament, in 2005 since he donned the green jacket at the Masters.
One shot lead. Into the slope. Now it has to come back, and here it comes. Oh, my goodness. Back down the slope. Come on, ball. Foot away.
Brian Katrick with the call, as heard on Bloomberg Radio. Tiger held off Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka by a stroke to finish at 13 under par, capturing his fifth green jacket at Augusta. On the ice, the Islanders on the verge of a series sweep for the first time in nearly a quarter century as they buried the Penguins 4-1 at the Igloo to take a 3-0 lead. Coach Barry Trotz.
We actually got a little momentum. We scored a goal shortly after that. And, you know, there's different twists and turns in this game. You know, we had a 5-on-3 and then we took a penalty, and, you know, we had some big saves at the right time. Our penalty killers came up big.
Jordan Eberle and Brock Nelson scored 62 seconds apart in the first period to set the tone. The Blue Jackets beat the number one seed Tampa Bay to move up 3-0. Las Vegas down San Jose to take a 2-1 lead. And Winnipeg doubled up St. Louis, but they still trail 2-1 in that series. Baseball, Atlanta's Julio Teheran pinned a rare loss on the Mets' Jacob DeGrom, 7-3 the final, thanks to a Josh Donaldson home run. Both teams tied for second, a half game back of the Phillies. Tim Anderson belted his first career grand slam as the White Sox beat the Yankees 5-2 at the stadium. Yankees are 5.5 back of Tampa Bay, the only team with a winning record in the AL East. Giants and A's both fell. While in the NBA playoffs, Boston, Portland, Milwaukee, and Houston all won their openers. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, Rob, thanks a lot. Now, as Tiger celebrates his first Masters title since 2005, we thought you might be interested where things stood the last time that he put on a green jacket. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was just north of 10,000, about 2.5 times below where it is today. The U.S. 10-year was yielding more than 4%. 14 years later, we're beginning the week at 2.55%. And one share of Amazon cost $33. Today, it's $1,843. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead on Daybreak, we'll talk to Patrick Palfrey at Credit Suisse. He's stopping by to tell us what to do with our money as the S&P 500 is up 16% this year.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, stocks in Europe are drifting alongside U.S. equity futures as investors show caution ahead of the next batch of corporate earnings. Check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures little change to lower at the moment, down nearly a point. Dow futures up 23 points. NASDAQ futures down nearly 6 points. The DAX in Germany, little change to lower. The CAC in Paris, little change to higher. The FTSE in London, little change to lower. Price of the 10-year up 2/32 seconds. The yield 2.55%. 2-year treasury 2.39%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 41 cents, trading at $63.48 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.20 at $12.90 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1315 against the dollar. The yen at 111.94. Today, the corporate earnings include bank results from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup before the opening bell, and the New York Fed issues its April Empire State Factory Index at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good Monday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Donald Trump faces a major moment in his presidency this week with the impending release of special counsel Robert Mueller's redacted report. President Trump has already claimed total exoneration based on a four-page summary issued last month by Attorney General William Barr. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told CBS's 60 Minutes that Barr may be whitewashing his summary of the Mueller probe into Russian interference in the 2016 election. In golf, the comeback is complete for Tiger Woods. After a series of injuries and personal issues, he won his fifth Masters title and his 15th major championship yesterday. In the NHL playoffs, the Islanders beat the Penguins 4-1. New York leads that series 3-0. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics won Sunday. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox blanked the Orioles 4-0. The Nationals, A's, and Giants all lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's bring in our first guest this morning, Patrick Palfrey, equity strategist at Credit Suisse. And Patrick, I don't think I need to remind you that the S&P 500 for the year is up 16%. Where do we go from here?
Well, good morning. We believe the move is likely to continue higher. And really, it stems from the fact that the backdrop that everyone was concerned about at the end of December was recessionary. And it seems that those concerns have largely been taken off the table. The data has softened, yes, but we've softened towards a more sustainable, lower trajectory, not towards a recession. And that has really allowed investors to re-risk portfolios and has been the key catalyst for volatility coming down and the market moving higher. And we expect that trend to continue.
So to what extent are earnings underpinning the rally?
I mean, earnings are an important part of every discussion. And at the end of the day, investors typically receive a fair amount of their returns for a year from the earnings. That said, this year is going to be unique in the sense that multiples are going to be the driver of the return this year, and earnings are going to contribute a very small amount. Right now, the expectation for 2019 is between 3 to 4%. The first quarter, which we are getting into this week, is going to be, once again, low single digits. So the trend is uninspiring, but it's not recessionary, and the corporate profits are intact. That together should be the catalyst that people should watch.
Okay, no earnings recession, but the comparisons are somewhat difficult.
Certainly, the comparisons are difficult, and a lot of what set up last year was positive. It came from government stimulus. It came from the change in the tax code. So the trend at which we saw last year was unsustainable, and I think many investors are comfortable with the deceleration, knowing that that number was too high.
Now, are the multiples, are they comfortable for you right now?
We do not really, we're not really concerned with multiples. And it really stems from the fact that when I look across other alternatives, whether it's fixed income products, whether it's other asset classes, the attractiveness of equities remains quite strong. Once again, you're still getting growth, and you still have a very reasonable valuation. And at the same time, U.S. equities continue to look very attractive even compared to, let's say, you know, developed markets globally.
All right. Despite the criticism that the central bank gets from the president of the United States that rates are still too high, in fact, the financial conditions right now are pretty easy, are they not?
The financial conditions still remain quite favorable. And, in fact, when we were in December, I think the concern was that the Fed was going to continue to hike interest rates. That was injecting the volatility that we were seeing. The Fed has really come around to where the market is in the sense that the market was not pricing in further rate hikes at the time. And it seems like, based upon the commentary that we are getting, that the Fed has gravitated towards that backdrop. So the market and the Fed are now in sync. And that is, I think, very important to making the environment as favorable as we are seeing it right now.
Okay, so where do you deploy your cash? What sectors, or I'm sure you can't talk about individual stocks, but where should we put our money?
Yep. So we're recommending investors take down the economic cyclicality of their portfolios. So lean away from energy, industrials, financials, materials, and lean into those secular themes, those themes where businesses are driving the demand, not the economy. Those are found in technology. They're found in communication services, areas of discretionary such as internet retail. Those are businesses that other businesses need to use and that consumers are increasingly adopting in their life. And that's where the success of the market is going to come from.
Where are the challenges to growth ahead that you see? What's keeping you up at night?
Right now, we are later in the cycle. You know, revenues are moderating in line with the backdrop, but the trend is stable. The real concern, in our opinion, is wages. You know, right now, wages are not a problem to corporate profits, but the labor market is tight, and should we see further wage concerns, it will just incrementally chip away at margins. And at the same time, if wages are moved higher, it's likely going to cause the Fed to become re-engaged, potentially hiking more aggressively, and that would precipitate, I think, a more concern around a recession.
Okay. Haven't seen that inflation yet. Patrick Palfrey, equity strategist at Credit Suisse. Thanks for joining us this morning. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, we have S&P futures. They are flat right now. The Dow futures up 26 points, up about a tenth of a percent. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ futures right now 5 points lower. That is down about a tenth of a percent. We have the euro 113.13. That's up a tenth of a percent against the dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. We're brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque. It was designed to open your eyes to the possibility of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details of the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. And let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. S&P futures right now, they are flat to begin a new holiday shortened trading week. On Friday, the S&P 500 closed above 2,900 for the first time in 6 months.
Now, the president thinks the stock market should be higher. Once again, he is blaming the Fed. In a tweet, President Trump claimed the stock market would be 5,000 to 10,000 points higher had the Federal Reserve not acted.
And meanwhile, bank earnings continue with the results from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup today. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence sees trading revenue weighing on Citigroup's top line, but that may have been partially offset by modestly lower costs. A profit of $1.80 a share is predicted on revenue of nearly $18.6 billion. For Goldman Sachs, its relative strength against the global revenue trend will be the main measuring stick. Goldman is seen posting an adjusted profit of $4.96 a share on revenue topping $8.9 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. At 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the New York Fed issues its Empire State Factory Index for April. Economists forecast a slight improvement from the prior month's disappointing data. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In March, the New York Fed's Regional Factory Index dropped to 3.7, the lowest since May 2017. Nationwide, factories have been adapting, sometimes without much success, to White House tariffs and the slowdown in global economic growth. On Tuesday, the Federal Reserve Board will issue data covering industrial production, the output of the nation's factories, mines, and utilities. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. There's another sign. The U.S. and China are getting closer to a trade agreement. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the U.S. is open to facing penalties if it doesn't live up to its commitments in a deal.
And French advertising group Publicis is working to deepen its digital expertise and expand in the U.S. The company's agreed to buy Alliance Data Systems Epsilon marketing unit at a price of $4.4 billion. Let's get you up to date on how the markets are faring. We check them every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 1 point. Dow futures ahead by 46 points. NASDAQ futures down 2 points. The DAX in Germany, little change. So is the FTSE in London. The CAC in Paris up a tenth percent. 10-year Treasury price up to 30 seconds. The yield at 2.55%. 2-year Treasuries at 2.39%. NYMEX crude oil down 9-tenths percent or 57 cents at $63.32 a barrel. COMEX gold down 4-tenths percent or $5.20 at $1,290 an ounce. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. That's straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
That is now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. The New York area is under a tornado watch until 7 a.m. A line of heavy thunderstorms is moving through. The system is moving east and could still produce gusty winds through the afternoon. President Donald Trump raised more than $30 million for his reelection effort, according to figures released by his campaign. They also report $40.8 million in the bank, more than any of the active Democratic candidates have reported so far. The Republican National Committee, which will be supporting Trump's bid, raised an additional $45.8 million in the first quarter. the most it has raised in a non-election year. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that Democrats are gaining momentum and will ultimately win the 2020 presidential election. Pelosi spoke on CBS's 60 Minutes.
I think our future is strong enough, built on a strong foundation, to withstand everything, including the current occupant of the White House. I don't think for two terms.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand raised $3 million in the first quarter of 2019 for her Democratic presidential bid, with the average online donor pitching in $25, according to figures released by her campaign. Senator Kamala Harris and her husband reported more than $2 million in income on their 2018 federal tax return, with the vast majority stemming from her husband's work as a partner in a law firm. The California lawmaker, one of the 18 declared candidates for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination, released 15 years' worth of tax returns yesterday. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says political partisanship is what's prompting Democrats' demands to see President Trump's tax returns. Sanders on Fox News Sunday also says those lawmakers who are pressing to see the president's returns are not equipped to decipher any of the information.
I don't think Congress, particularly not this group of congressmen and women, are smart enough to look through the thousands of pages that I would assume that President Trump's taxes will be. My guess is most of them don't do their own taxes.
Fox News Sunday can be heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. Several Democratic lawmakers responded to Sanders. Representative Ted Lieu said, "How about sending us the tax returns of the POTUS as required by law?" Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, this time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, John. Tigers back. Comeback complete from Augusta.
But here it is. Woods has 2 feet. Back behind the ball. Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion!
Mike Tirico with the call is heard on Bloomberg Radio. Tiger wins his fifth green jacket, his 15th major, and first since 2008. Woods, who never shot higher than 70 all weekend, was within striking distance from hole one, finished at 13 under, a stroke better than Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. Woods is now 2 majors behind Jack Nicklaus. His record is 17. On the frozen floor, the Islanders are making it look easy in Pittsburgh, downing the Penguins 4-1, pushing them to the brink, taking a 3-0 series lead. Brock Nelson and Jordan Eberle scored just 62 seconds apart in the first period, putting the Isles up for good. Nelson on the effort.
Great job by us, and good job second, third period. Keep that going. Weathering a couple storms, obviously they're going to have pushes and get chances with the firepower they have. And big saves by Lenny like we have all year, and another big win.
It's been nearly a quarter century since the Isles pulled off a playoff sweep. Game 4 is Tuesday. The Lightning are down 3-0 after falling to Columbus. Golden Knights take a 2-1 lead over the Sharks, and Winnipeg got a must-win in St. Louis, but they're still down 2-1. In baseball, Yankees lose 5-2 to the White Sox at home, while Jacob deGrom took the loss as the Braves beat the Mets 7-3 down south. And in the NBA, the Bucks, Blazers, Rockets, and Celtics all won their opening round games. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
Rob, thanks a lot. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with a cover on thousands of Dominicans hunting for treasure that may not exist. Also in this week's issue, why millionaires are the big winners from the 2017 tax law. Joe Light wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
The tax law helped everybody. I mean, the vast majority of people got a tax cut, but the biggest winner overall were definitely the millionaires and multimillionaires of the world.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly, weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. In recent months, dozens of riders have reported injuries while riding electric city bikes. The company on Sunday pulled all of the nearly 1,000 electric bicycles from New York City streets. Lyft, which owns Citibike, took similar precautions with its other bike-sharing services in Washington and San Francisco. A panel investigating New Jersey's $11 billion corporate tax incentives program has made its first referral to criminal enforcement authorities, according to a news release. It says the investigations uncovered evidence of unregistered lobbying on behalf of special interests in connection with those tax breaks. And a strike by Stop and Shop workers in Connecticut, as well as Massachusetts and Rhode Island, entered its fourth day on Sunday. The timing of the walkout has affected shoppers getting ready for Passover and the Easter holiday. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Ed, thanks a lot. It is now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, we're reporting on how Boeing's 737 issues have American Airlines joining Southwest and extending flight cancellations.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Chevron's mega deal is fueling speculation about what arch-rival Exxon will do next.
I'm Matt Miller on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on how Brexit uncertainty has crushed employers' confidence and cut the number of finance jobs available in the city by more than half.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, some U.S. farm groups fear that President Donald Trump's terms for easing the trade war with China risk leaving large parts of American agriculture worse off than before the conflict began.
I'm Ed Corey on KFPK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Tesla says it will make more than 500,000 cars over the next 12 months.
Yeah, those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on around the world this morning. And the European Union taking a closer look at Google's tax arrangement in Ireland. Bloomberg has learned authorities want to know how Google uses operations there to help reduce its tax obligations within the EU. This is Bloomberg. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now, they are flat. The Dow futures up 40 points, that's up 0.2%, and the NASDAQ futures 1 point lower. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, stocks in Europe are starting to edge a little higher along with U.S. equity futures ahead of the next batch of corporate earnings. We check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up nearly a point now. Dow futures up 40 points. NASDAQ futures little changed. DAX in Germany up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up nearly 0.2%. Price of the 10-year up 2/32. The yield 2.55%. 2-year treasuries 2.38%. West Texas Intermediate down 0.8% or 54 cents at $63.35 a barrel. COMEX Gold down 0.4% or $5.30 at $1,289.90 an ounce. The euro at 113.18 against the dollar. The yen at 111.95. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's happening around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The redacted report from Special Counsel Robert Mueller will be released this week. Last month, Attorney General William Barr issued a four-page summary saying Mueller did not find that President Trump's campaign colluded with Russia. Representative Ilhan Omar says she's faced increased death threats since President Trump spread a video that purports to show her being dismissive of the 2001 terrorist attacks. The Minnesota Democrat says Trump is permitting right-wing extremism that has to stop. In golf, after a series of injuries and personal issues, Tiger Woods won his fifth Masters title and his 15th major championship. In the NHL playoffs, the Islanders beat the Penguins 4-1. New York leads the series 3-0. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics won Sunday. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Red Sox blanked the Orioles 4-0. The Nationals, A's, and Giants all lost. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 5:49 on Wall Street. And it's time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And we are joined live now by Jen Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor, joining us from our London Bureau. Jen, good morning to you. It's all about advertising this morning. Alex Webb writes, Publicis is grabbing the last partner at the digital dance. this giant of advertising making a big bet on digital marketing. And Webb says, well, it's probably worth it, right?
Exactly, because let's take a look at what the size of the bet is. $4.4 billion to acquire Epsilon from Alliance Data System. That's a quarter of Publicis's enterprise value, so indeed, it had better be worth it. But let's take a look at what it's getting. The company offers pools of user data and digital tools to anticipate consumer purchases, target ads more effectively, and the big bet is that Publicis, as the world's third biggest ad agency, is going to be able to open some doors for Epsilon, give it more clout to win top-tier clients than it otherwise could at present.
Okay, so what's at stake for Publicis?
Well, the company really needs this bet to pay off. Actually, the firm's revenue fell in the first quarter, and it's going to take time for Epsilon to broaden its reach. So there's a timing element there that's going to be worth watching. There's also going to be a notable impact on debt ratios. Average net debt rises to 2.6 times EBITDA on this deal from just under one time at present. That's going to gobble up any oxygen for future deals. But to be fair, it's going to be hard to find another asset that's going to be worth this amount of money.
So how is Epsilon the last partner at this digital dance, as we call
exactly.
It.
Well, Webb points out that this is going to be the last acquisition target, really, that's going to offer vast amounts of digital user information. It's the sort of thing that ad firms otherwise have to buy from third parties. It looks like shareholders are on board with this transaction, even though Publicis is halting an equity buyback program that it started last summer. The stock seems to have risen. It was up about 4% on Monday. It was the biggest gain in the year. So Webb's overall take is that it's a substantial bet, but Publicis has the tools to make this work.
All right, let's move on to our next piece, and this is from Marcus Ashworth. This Brexit delay is a bond market opportunity. Now, with all the political trauma around Brexit, it's unusual to hear anything good coming out of it. So what's he talking about?
I mean, as ever this year, bond investors are searching for yield, and the UK isn't any exception there. From that perspective, Ashworth points out, the window for sterling corporated new issuance is open. And so the question is, what issuers might potentially take advantage of it. So let's take a look at the fundamentals. He says that they're really in quite good shape. You've got the pound stable versus other major currencies, which is really rather remarkable considering all the volatility you get around the politics of Brexit. The Bank of England is also unlikely to raise rates until there's more certainty on how the economy is going to be affected by any resolution to the EU divorce. On top of this, credit spreads are tightening relative to government debt. And so even though gilt yields have risen, they're still substantially lower than they were 6 months ago. So all in all, the gross issuance cost for corporate issuers is really going to be quite a bit lower.
We really had to look hard for good news coming out of Brexit. What kind of issuers have there been in the UK?
There's been a surprising number of Americans. Ford Motor Credit, Verizon Communications were among them. All in all, we had about 25 corporate deals denominated in pounds in the last quarter. It's not quite the same enthusiasm as there has been in Europe, but still, it's worth noting. One thing that's worth pointing out is the pickup in floating rate note sales. The Financial Conduct Authority, the regulator here, has heavily encouraged a move away from LIBOR. So what you're going to get is more floating rate note issuance coming in SONIAs, and that's something that's likely to be continuing.
Nothing lasts forever, so how long does Ashworth think these good conditions are going to persist?
Well, it looks like we've got the delay in the Brexit day getting pushed out until October, so that alleviates the near-term uncertainty, and so there's room for the strong pace of sales to continue. However, the pipeline is looking just a little bit bare, so for borrowers, it might be time to take a bit of a look at looking at issuing in sterling. The other issue here is timing. So bond yields have started to back up given the strong performance of the S&P 500. So if there also were to be a change in the political environment, a general election, a second referendum, that could really hit corporate issuance volume and spreads. On the other hand, were Brexit to be cleanly resolved, the floodgate for new sales could potentially open.
There's always that other hand. Jen, that's always a pleasure. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing O-P-I-N, go. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potus in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Attorneys for the IRS and Amazon argued before a federal appeals court in their second face-off over the value of intangible property, such as patents and trademarks that the online retailer transferred to its unit in Luxembourg in 2005. A New Jersey consumer has filed a lawsuit claiming Fisher-Price misrepresented the safety and suitable use of its rock-and-play sleeper, which has been blamed for up to 32 infant deaths. And employers last week submitted more than 201,000 petitions for H-1B visas available in fiscal year 2020. 2020, a 6% increase over last year.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And another legal item we're watching this morning. Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman to become a Supreme Court justice. Although Ruth Bader Ginsburg arguably has eclipsed O'Connor in fame, she was the most powerful woman to sit on the court as the swing vote for more than a quarter century. And now, Sandra Day O'Connor is the subject of a new biography from Evan Thomas titled First. Thomas speaks with Bloomberg's June Grosso about his book.
Evan, O'Connor was the swing vote on abortion, affirmative action, Bush v. Gore, to name a few. But she wasn't wedded to legal doctrines as such. She was more practical. Explain how she approached these cases.
She was the last justice to have actually run for office, to had to ask for votes and be in the real world of the state legislature and in state government. So that informed her. You know, she was from the real world. But she was intensely practical. And she always asked herself, what is the impact of the decision? Not just, you know, what's the doctrine that we're enforcing here, but how's this going to play out? This is important for her in the two biggies on affirmative action and abortion, because in abortion rights, she personally found abortion abhorrent, and yet she was the justice who kept abortion rights alive for 25 years. Affirmative action, same thing. She had her doubts about affirmative action, but she saw a practical need for it, and she was a decisive vote on affirmative action.
You write that even before the Casey decision, O'Connor told her brother, "The abortion issue is wearing me down." Explain the pressures on her.
Well, she's a Reagan appointee, and the author of Roe v. Wade, the famous abortion decision in 1973, thought that she was going to be the decisive vote against abortion. In fact, he wrote down in a piece of paper, she is just against abortion. So the expectation was that she would vote to reverse. She went the other way on that because she's a woman, for one thing, and deeply sensitive to the issues that face other women. And although she found abortion something she wouldn't do, she wasn't going to take it away from others. What she did do is find a compromise, saying, yes, there can be some state restriction on abortion, but they can't put what they call an undue burden on women. This is kind of a vague standard, caused a lot of litigation, a lot of fighting. People are still mad at her from both sides. She's trying to work through a very difficult societal problem slowly, carefully, piece by piece.
Evan Thomas is author of the new Sandra Day O'Connor biography entitled First. Thomas spoke with Bloomberg's June Grosso. And you can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law. It airs weekdays at noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com. For more information, S&P futures up a point and a half now. Dow futures up 44 points. NASDAQ futures little changed. 10-year up 2/32. The yield 2.55%. 2-year treasuries 2.39%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 53 cents at $63.36 a barrel. The euro trading at 1.1317 against the dollar. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.